Hello, this is J.D. Mitchell with another short informational recording on a creation science or biblical apologetics subject. Thank you very much for accessing the Creation Engineering Concepts website and for clicking to hear this recording with the title, The Law of Biogenesis. Creation scientists believe the universe and all that is in it were created by the Creator God just thousands of years ago in a manner clearly explained in the Bible. On the other hand, believers in naturalism reject this point of view and explain the creation as being the result of the random interactions of matter over long periods of time, some say for as long as 20 billion years. Just how do the laws of nature fit into this creation versus evolution argument? I hope to explain to you in this short discussion that the true scientific evidence for the law of biogenesis, when properly interpreted, supports only the creation view and supplies no support for evolution. As I mentioned, creationists have the historical and explanatory text of the Bible as our foundation for explaining the natural universe. The Bible is the source for all of our present presuppositions that force the interpretations we arrive at upon investigating evidences found in the material universe. We believe that the Bible is God's Word and that He does not, cannot in fact, lie to us. The presuppositions of evolutionists are contradictory to those of the Bible and can be summarized as follows. 1. Laws of nature sprang into existence out of designless confusion or chaos. 2. Matter and energy originated from nothing, usually explained to be the result of a Big Bang. In the Big Bang, first there was nothing, and then there was everything concentrated into a singularity that expanded to become, over billions of years, the universe we see today and everything that is in it. Living things came from non-living things. Some evolutionists believe life came from pond scum. Others believe life came from a rock. A critical starting point for my discussion is an understanding of just what is science. Science is the field that humans use to explain the workings of the creation. Another definition is that science is a branch of study that seeks to understand natural phenomena through repeated observations and experiments. Scientific evidence is something that has been observed with instruments or our five senses, is verifiable, and helps support or refute possible explanations for phenomena. Notice that the evidences must be interpreted, and those interpretations are not necessarily facts, since in order for the interpretations to be factual, they must be based on true presuppositions. It is an historical fact that science was developed as a result of the influence of Christianity. The Christian view is that God is orderly and consistent, and so it should be possible for men to study and learn to understand some of how He created everything and some of how He keeps it all functioning. There is no logical reason for there to be order or consistency in the universe if it came about due to random interactions of matter. The Christian worldview would anticipate the existence of laws of nature, while evolution would not logically do so. So science means knowledge, and the essence of science is measurement, observation, and repeatability. If that is true, then it is true to say that science is not speculative philosophy. What is a law of nature? I think a good definition is that a law of nature is a descriptive principle of the universe that holds in all circumstances covered by the wording of the law. For example, the law of biogenesis states that life only comes from life. If it ever were to be determined that life sometimes actually only once came naturally from non-life, then the law of biogenesis would be disproven. It would no longer be considered a law of nature. Other ways for understanding laws of nature are 1. Laws of nature know no exceptions. 2. Laws of nature are unchanging with time. 3. Laws of nature can tell us whether a process being contemplated is even possible. 4. Laws of nature exist prior to and are independent of their discovery or formulation. And 5. Laws of nature can always be successfully applied to unknown situations. Now let me get back to the discussion of the law of biogenesis. In order for the evolution of everything from nothing to humans to have occurred, the law of biogenesis has to have been violated. This imagined process is called abiogenesis, or spontaneous generation. Evolutionist George Wald put it this way, quote, "One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to conclude that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Yet here we are, as a result, I believe, of spontaneous generation." Unquote. Wald did not present any scientific argument for his belief, and neither has anyone else. Those who believe in abiogenesis do so completely on blind faith. Ever since Pasteur demonstrated that spontaneous generation was scientifically impossible over 150 years ago, evolutionists have had to stick to non-scientific imaginations for their faith. The theory of evolution conflicts with the law of biogenesis by claiming that life came from non-living matter through natural processes. Listen next to several secular scientist quotations that support the biblical creationist view of the law of biogenesis. Here's a quote from David E. Green and Robert Goldberger from Molecular Insights into the Living. This was from 1967, and it reads as follows, quote, "The popular conception of primitive cells as the starting point for the origin of the species is really erroneous. There was nothing functionally primitive about such cells. How then did the precursor arise? The only unequivocal rejoinder to this question is that we do not know." Unquote. Here's another quote from Hubert P. Yockey in A Calculation of the Probability of Spontaneous Biogenesis by Information Theory from 1977. And it reads as follows, quote, "The warm little pond scenario was invented ad hoc to serve as a materialistic reductionist explanation of the origin of life. It is unsupported by any other evidence, and it will remain ad hoc until such evidence is found. Contrary to the established and current wisdom, a scenario describing the genesis of life on Earth by chance and natural causes, which can be accepted on the basis of fact and not faith, has not yet been written." Unquote. Here's one from Douglas Hofstadler in Godel Escher Bach, An Eternal Golden Braid from 1980. And it reads as follows, quote, "There are various theories on the origin of life. They all run aground on this most central of all questions. How did the genetic code, along with the mechanisms for its translation, that is, ribosomes, RNA molecules, originate? For the moment, we will have to content ourselves with a sense of wonder and awe, rather than with an answer." Unquote. Here's one from Andrew Scott, Update on Genesis, New Scientist, in 1985. Quote, "But how much of this neat tale is firmly established, and how much remains hopeful speculation? In truth, the mechanism of almost every major step, from chemical precursors up to the first recognizable cells, is a subject of either controversy or complete bewilderment." Unquote. Here's one from a professor, Dr. Klaus Dose, in The Origin of Life, More Questions Than Answers, from 1988. Quote, "Considerable disagreements between scientists have arisen about detailed evolutionary steps. The problem is that the principal evolutionary processes, from prebiotic molecules to the pregenotes, have not been proven by experimentation, and that the environmental conditions under which these processes occurred are not known." Unquote. Here's one from John Maddox in The Genesis Code by Numbers from Nature in 1994. Quote, "It was already clear that the genetic code is not merely an abstraction, but the embodiment of life's mechanisms. The consecutive triplets of nucleotides in DNA, called codons, are inherited, but they also guide the construction of proteins. So it is disappointing that the origin of the genetic code is still as obscure as the origin of life itself. Unquote. And finally, here's one from Leslie E. Orgel in The Origin of Life on the Earth in Scientific American, October 1994. Quote, "It is extremely improbable that proteins and nucleic acids, both of which are structurally complex, arose spontaneously in the same place at the same time. Yet it also seems impossible to have one without the other. And so, at first glance, one might have to conclude that life could never, in fact, have originated by chemical means." Unquote. From these quotations that I just read to you, and many others, what can we conclude? First, we conclude that in spite of 150 years of intense attempts by evolutionists to find one exception to the law of biogenesis, the law still stands. Secondly, abiogenesis, or spontaneous generation, is a concept that is impossible according to all real scientific knowledge currently available. Finally, the law of biogenesis is the true, most important general concept of biology, not the concept of evolution, as many evolutionists would have you believe. I pray that you, the listener, will carefully consider the ramifications of this discussion of the law of biogenesis. How do your presuppositions regarding reality match up to this law of nature? If you see that the biblical view makes more sense, does that influence you to reconsider or reinforce your personal relationship to the Creator God? I think it should. Why wouldn't you? Father, I pray for all those who want to improve their relationship to you. I pray that more and more people would come to the realization that evolution is a complete falsehood, and that those who have yet to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior would be influenced to do so by your Holy Spirit and the proper understanding of your creation, your power, and your grace. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.